Whenever I set up justgoodstuff.ie, I would have been absolutely lost at sea without Shopify. Starting your own business or product can be completely overwhelming. When I discovered Shopify, it made my life so much easier. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your 1 euro per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side. Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going? ¿Cómo estás? Welcome back. Bienvenue. Welcome back, guys. Chicos. Hola. Welcome back, chicos. ¿Cómo hearts y cómo heads? Welcome back to the Roast Mortem, guys. How's it going? How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, I'm lying here in my bed in Ibiza in the hotel. I've done that insane, inane, deranged thing wherein we've booked a flight which doesn't leave until 11 p.m. tonight. Hell on earth. That is genuinely a death sentence. Mandela did 27 years. This is worse. This is genuinely worse than the... Who are those three lads that got falsely imprisoned for the West of Memphis? There's a great documentary about them. Anyway, booking your flight on the end, your home flight, Ryanair at 11 p.m., is the worst thing in the world, because now we've got this whole day where I'm in the hotel, but I'm walking around like a fucking ghost. I don't feel like I'm here. I feel like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense. I can see the fun happening, but I'm not participating in the fun. Do you know what I mean? I'm watching, I'm separated by a glass wall that is the ticking time bomb of reality descending and the fear of what will await in Ibiza Airport when I arrive there. Can you imagine the slop? Can you actually just imagine the slop that awaits me at the gate this evening? I want to tell you about the flight over, okay? You're very welcome to the show. This is a first ever overseas podcast. The way to do holiday flying is you leave to go on holidays anytime between 10 a.m. and 11, or 9 a.m. and 11. That's the answer. You're up bright and early. You get there at a reasonable time, unless you're holidaying in the Middle East, of course, and that brings its own problems. But when you're leaving to go on holidays anytime between 9 and 11, and then the return has to be before 2 o'clock. You want to be getting into your house no later than 5 p.m. because that gives you an opportunity to reset, do the washing, sort of sink into the spine-numbing mundanity that is your reality, the collection of decisions that have led you to this point of your existence, so you can reconcile with the fact that the holiday's over and you need to have a shower and change your boxers and realize that that joy that you had for the last few days was fleeting and temporary and it's now gone and it's now just a memory that will pop up on your iPhone at a random interval, like when you're trying to give somebody directions or something and you can't exit out of the app. Nevertheless, we made the decision of flying out late. It's the howler. It's the worst decision ever. But I want to tell you about my flight experience over, because this is one of the most common questions about Ibiza, is like, how was the flight over? First things first, without any hyperbole, okay, and many of you know I'm not a fan of exaggerations or anything, you would see more tracksuits on the flight to Ibiza than the Olympic opening ceremony. That's the reality. There were more head-to-toe men in tracksuits than the World Cup opening ceremony last Friday in the US, genuinely. Is it really necessary to have the six-piece Berghaus? Just asking a question. Edmund Hillary, by the way, didn't Edmund Hillary didn't have as much fucking mountaineering gear when he first scaled the soon-to-be-named Hillary Step on his ascent of Everest with, by the way, Tenzing Norgay. I think that's his name. The Sherpa who actually was the first ever person to summit Everest. Hillary was just a dirty little posh private school educated pup, which of course I know nothing about. Anyway, you get in the flight. The flight is hell. That's just the reality. The flight is hell. The only barrier between me and bringing Rosie and Darren to Ibiza in the future would be the flight. I don't know how I could do that flight again with a little baby, just because there is an element of slop that is very rarely seen. Some of the conduct I saw on that plane was more of an insult to aviation than the concept of kamikaze bombing. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were guys there singing DJ Watso, Hey, Hey, Baby. You know that tune? Hey, baby. Ooh, like the cat call of an imbecile, the siren sound of a moron. They were singing that before we even reached our, like, ascent point on the runway in Dublin Airport. So in ways, it is hell on earth. The air hostess, understandably, and the air stewards are sort of just emotionally checked out, as you would have to be, okay? I totally get that, and it's not on them. Their job is their job. They don't have to sort of manage the animals that were on the plane. First things first, everything that I say to you now is true, by the way, and there was a few followers of mine on the plane, so they will verify this. We've just taken off, okay? The seatbelt sign hasn't even come off, and this guy, triple tracksuit, sprints down with the fervor of a 1930s fucking Jesse Owens, by the way, sprints down a la the Olympics. Well, the only thing he's ever torched is a fucking footlocker during the riots. But anyway, he sprints down to the top of the plane, and he's drinking a can of Stella. Come on. Not even the 90s had such flagrant displays of I am a pig. Drinking a can of Stella like some sort of Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances, albeit without the forgiving joviality and gruntleness. This guy's just a pig. Anyway, standing at the top of the plane, everybody's sort of watching him because, of course, the seatbelt light hasn't even come off. Do you know what he proceeds to do? He proceeds to pick his nose cartoonishly. I mean, to most people, picking your nose in front of a plane full of people will classify as a public flogging. Good stuff. Would classify as a public flogging or some sort of humiliation ritual. To this guy, it's just 3 days of annual leave. Or is it annual? Is it called annual leave if you're not leaving a job? Do you know what I mean? It's just summer holidays. I'm just picking my nose, swaying lazily to the hum of the Ryanair ad for those fucking fixed vouchers. It's absolutely outrageous. Some of the displays of just, I don't want to say public hygiene, but not even an awareness, a different approach to humanity, okay? And that's not an exaggeration. There was another guy, and again, I swear on my life this is true. As we were boarding the plane, he was making a call to his solicitor, and he was insisting aggressively down the phone that he had signed some forms in the station yesterday, so that made him allowed to fly. Something tells me he wasn't a barrister. I don't think it was Atticus Finch working back to back in the old next Tom Robinson cakes coming down the tracks. I do not think that was the case. Like, it really is, there is a smorgasbord. And then you've just got, like, lovely families. Do you know what I mean? So you do have quite the mix. But as I say, like, I don't know. We, in the grand scheme of things, we got lucky, okay? We genuinely did. I mean, one of the worst things that I saw on the plane was actually not even from one of the passengers. It was from one of the people working, it was one of the air hostesses. Don't ask me why, but she was basically standing, I was up the front, and she was standing right beside me, like where, you know, the sort of the kitchen, the galley is, right? But she was facing down, like, towards the rest of the plane. She just had both of her hands down her skirt. I swear to God. Both of her hands down her skirt, like, sort of, you know, like, holding on to her breeches almost, but, like, in, like, as if she was a cowboy about to tap dance. You know the way they do that? But her fingers, like, were inside the skirt. Genuinely like a cartoon cowboy about to do a line dance. I've never seen anything like it. How fucking mollycoddled do your fingers need to be that if they dip even slightly below room temperature at 33,000 feet, you need to run them through the pubes for a bit of insulation? How warm do the mitts need to be before you serve a few cups of tea? You're not a surgeon on the beach of Dunkirk, blowing on his paws before rubbing iodine over someone's belly, where he's going to make a relatively, let's be honest, a death-inducing fucking incision. You're doing a 3-hour flight to... I just couldn't believe it. Two hands down the skirt before offering me a can of Pringles. Yes, please. And a Twix. Do you have any sparkling water? No. Do you have a toasted ham and cheese sandwich that has cheese hotter than the sun that wouldn't cool down to an edible temperature until the next fucking Vesuvius? We can't mention Pompeii again in the pot. Whenever I set up justgoodstuff.ie, I would have been absolutely lost at sea without Shopify. Starting your own business or product can be completely overwhelming. When I discovered Shopify, it made my life so much easier. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your €1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side. Anyway, aside from the kangaroo style sort of minge fingers, the plane was fine. The plane was grand. We arrived into Ibiza and then we got the rental car. Now, second public announcement on this podcast. They need to make it easier to rent cars. How is AI? I'm all for AI. AI might replace some people's jobs. Please fucking save us from the mediocrity that is trying to rent a car or dealing with these. See, I'm joking, of course. That's me being tongue in cheek. I'm not trying to obliterate the workforce, all right? Nevertheless, we get into the airport. We're trying to rent a car. It's the most complicated process in the world. Like, what's the point in filling the form, okay? And entering in your mother's horoscope. Do you know what I mean? Your dog's date of birth, your national insurance number, every single bit, your credit card, all of this, if you're going to arrive at the airport and have... Hola. Hi, could I just go on and pick up the car? I've arranged rent. Oh, slow down, eh? Have you got a ticket? What do you mean, have I got a ticket? Have you got the ticket for the car? Yeah, I've arranged the car already online. I've got it all. No, you have to press the machine and get the button, then join the queue. There is no queue. There's nobody here in the queue. So, you'll need a ticket. Okay, bing. Now, next, number 101. Yes, that's me. I was just... Hello, sir. How can I help? I was just talking to you 7 seconds ago. Anyway, the process of renting a car, we use a company called Gold Car. I have absolutely no problem saying this because I will never be working with them. Scumbags. Do not use them, okay? They tried to upsell us in the air. We paid for insurance via booking.com in advance. We paid for the car in advance, everything paid for. And then we got there and she was like to us, the insurance is no bueno. I was like, excuse me? Buenos morning. I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, the booking.com, you know, you got the drive. We paid for the full insurance. Yes, but you need the gold car insurance. It's €129 per day. I was like, right, we've paid for full insurance and we paid for a car. So when you say we need it, is that mandatory?
Yeah, more or less.
What do you mean more or less? I love when Spanish people say it. It rolls off the tongue. But what do you mean?
More or less.
Well, is it mandatory or not? And if so, how is it that you're selling booking.com insurance on your website? And then she goes, come on,
chicos, es good job. Ibiza, this is not Barcelona. This is not Madrid. You are not in Bilbao. You are in Ibiza. You leave the car, maybe in the car park, maybe you go to the La Playa or something, I don't know. You do one of these things, San Antonio, somebody crash into your car.
I'm going, sorry, I don't understand what you're saying, aside from your voice sort of mildly becoming Tony Montana. Do you know what I mean? I don't really understand what's going on. Nevertheless, you don't need the gold car. It was an upsell. It was a classic bloody upsell. And because of her dulcet Iberian, no, Balearic tones, I nearly fucking fell for it. So anyway, fuck gold car. We did use them, and of course, if they wanted to reach out to me via Instagram and do any form of paid partnership, I would sell the soul of my sisters and myself in order to do so. Nevertheless, renting a car took too long. Now, answering your questions about the hotel, I have to caveat this, okay? We did, I did work with Disloyalty. Many of you know, there's a company called Disloyalty. I joined them about 2.5 years ago now, and as a result, have started doing some work with them with Darren. We do some trips with them around, whatever. This podcast is not an advertisement. I will mention the fact that I use them, but they're not paying me for this. Full disclosure, there's no advertisement whatsoever involved. And for as little as €4, no, but genuinely there isn't. Anyway, the hotel we used was Hyde Ibiza, which is part of the Disloyalty group. So I'm working with them on it. So I didn't pay for it, just full disclosure, but it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. There's two hotels, Hyde and the Mondrian, and they opened up in like 2024. It's in a little bay called Calalonga, which is absolutely unbelievable. That's CALA LLONGA. And it's, if you've got the Old Town, if you're looking at the map, okay, Ibiza, Old Town, Dalt Villa is at about like 4:15 on a clock, okay? And then where we are is around 3:00, to use the sort of clock reference. Don't have a clock, don't have a map, this is audio. Nevertheless, it's absolutely perfect. It is this gorgeous little inlet with, yeah, the couple of hotels, stunning restaurants, and it's like, it's pretty much perfect. I would 1,000,000% come back with Rosie and Darren. And I would actually really recommend it if you had kids that are a little bit older, like between 7 to 17, I would say it's absolutely perfect because there's enough going on to give them the sense that they're being autonomous and that they're doing things themselves, but it's secluded and protected enough that they probably aren't at risk of getting into any trouble. Do you know what I mean? So, like, the hotels are right on the beach. There's a few shops, there's a supermarket, there's a few different coffee spots, some really nice restaurants. But, you know, the kids could head off and feel like they're doing something themselves, even though they're absolutely not. And forevermore, they'll be under your watchful eye. And mine, by the way. Not a problematic way. So I would wholeheartedly recommend Calalonga. Now, before we get into the full sort of list of recommendations and suggestions, the second most common question to me about Ibiza, which I do have to answer, was about sobriety. Just in terms of how I got on, what did it feel like? They're concerned about going. They have all of these preconceptions about Ibiza. Ibiza is like, it is criminally misunderstood. For a long time, I've joked on the podcast about how it's not like a best kept secret. It's not a secret. Ibiza is glorious. There's so much diverse offerings on the island that can cater to any type of trip. So I don't believe it's sort of it's a best kept secret, but I do think it's misunderstood. I used to love going to Ibiza. I've been a few times before, back when I was drinking, and I had interesting, turbulent, chaotic, enjoyable times here. I obviously grew up in dance music, adore dance music, so like it was always this like mecca for me to go to. I hadn't gone yet in sobriety, and it's a long question to answer, so I'll try and keep it brief. But for me, this trip has genuinely been like so transformative, because part of getting sober has resulted in me sometimes feeling like excluded from aspects of my life. Do you know what I mean? And I felt like a bit on the outside in terms of like, yeah, going to shows and clubs and all of the rest stuff that I would have loved doing, and just been crippled with self-awareness. Effectively the direct opposite of what some of the lads on the plane has in terms of being burdened by self-awareness. But you know, with sobriety, sometimes you can be hyper aware of yourself. And as a result, I was a bit self-conscious about going back to Ibiza, and I didn't know how I'd fit in, how I'd find it. Would I be looking out the window and wanting to be part of it and sort of afraid that those thoughts would come up? Like, I was never concerned of drinking or anything like that. Unfortunately, where my recovery is today, just for today, I have no problem being around people drinking or anything like that. I don't frequent bars or clubs very often, but, you know, I would never at the moment be concerned of that. But I was concerned, like, yeah, would I enjoy it or was it going to be weird? Anyway, this trip has just been phenomenally liberating in that sense, because I've just fucking loved it. I mean, it is, the island can be whatever it is you want. And there is so much here that it absolutely caters for people like myself who, you don't necessarily need to be sober, but like you might want to have a part, you want to dip your toe into some of the stuff, particularly if you're about music, because, like, don't get me wrong, there is still, as commercial as it's gotten over here, there are still, just to be somewhere where it, the basically the ethos of parts of the island are just fucking built on music. Anyway, I'm like a fanboy here. So it is absolutely perfect. I have not felt uncomfortable once. I mean, you can see from the hotel, there's like DJs by the pool and stuff. People are drinking, it doesn't matter. It's a lovely, lovely atmosphere. Then we went to Cafe Mambo last night for the sunset, which, let's be honest, it's a bit cheesy, but my brother-in-law had never been to Ibiza, so I feel like it's one, it's a great one to sort of, you know, box tick, is to do sunset at Cafe Mambo, and it is like an institution of Ibiza. John Morales was DJing there afterwards. So that was enjoyable. We met a bunch of Irish people. Again, from a sobriety aspect, not remotely difficult. Like, it, you know, when stimulated and enjoying the fun and, dare I say, participating in life, the question of what escapism doesn't even enter the fray. Do you know what I mean? It's more when you have, if you, for me at least, psychologically, if I'm on that outside feeling, that's when I really want to escape. It's all a bit complicated. However, so yes, in short, I would really recommend it. If you are sober, or if you're sober curious, or if you're just not like a major party person, I would not let that stop you. Like, the island is breathtaking, and to be somewhere where there is just so much good music in so many places all the time, it's absolutely overwhelming. I do find, though, almost like, do you ever get this? Okay, I put this thing up about the holiday, asking for recommendations. Do you ever get when you ask for people for recommendations for a holiday and you get so many? Before your holiday, you almost get depressed because you're like, well, I'm never going to be able to achieve all of these things. So I can't even make a dent in it. I sometimes get the same feelings about life or like books. You know what I mean? Even if I was to start reading a book every day now for the rest of my life until I die, I won't ever be able to read all of the books. And there's something sad about that. But in a way, like with Ibiza, it's almost like I've been here for 3 days. I've seen fuck all, like, in terms of music. So there is just so much to do at all times. But just to be very clear on the sobriety piece, it is still Ibiza, and there is still the presence of people getting fucked up all the time in most places. So that could be triggering to anybody if you are sort of, especially people new on their journey, or if you're on a volatile place in your recovery or whatever. So that's just something to be mindful of. And obviously it all depends, like with most of sobriety and recovery, who you're with. Like, I'm here with my brother-in-law, we have a great relationship, and I can be fully transparent with him about how I'm feeling, the way I'm feeling at all times of the day. So, like, just don't be like, oh, Megan told me to go to Ibiza and I ended up fucking taking a swill of what's that horrendous tune that is more of an assault on the ears than a scabies diagnosis. I took a pill in Ibiza, whatever. Anyway, long story short, I'm not advocating everybody to nip off to Ibiza if you're 3 weeks sober. I'm just saying, I would not let it stop you, particularly if you're into your tunes. Now, let's get into the suggestions. Let's move away from the sobriety. Let's move away from How's it going, guys? Anybody out there who has ever set up a small business or a business on the side or their own company will be aware of how all of a sudden overnight you have to wear basically like 1,000 different hats. Whenever I launched justgoodstuff.ie earlier in the year to sell all my merchandise, it was honestly so unbelievably liberating to discover Shopify and to realize that I was actually capable of running and developing my business further myself. With Shopify, it's not just websites like justgoodstuff.ie. They're also the platform behind millions and millions of businesses around the world, from household names to other brands just getting started. Shopify has so many AI tools. They can even enhance your product photography. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling. It's got world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping. It can process returns. It's super, super simple. So basically, turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your €1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. Go to shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie. It's time to see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side. Okay, so now let's get into the to-dos and what not to do, right? And again, bear in mind, I am absolutely biased because I love this island, I love this place. Do you know what? Like, I'm attracted to anywhere where there is a complete mix of people. And there's also, like, just beneath the surface, there's always very interesting stories to, like, the people that are here. The natives are very interesting in their own right. But then, of course, you get loads of people who have like ended up in Ibiza. Do you know the way West Cork, okay, has got this like array of characters, and not just the sort of bohemian, self-grandiose perverts, but, you know, like an interesting collection of people who have somehow ended up there to build lives. Like, you do have that in Ibiza. I remember chatting to a waiter on the first night who's this Parisian guy, used to work as a diplomat, and he said he was driving down the Champs-Élysées. Didn't know he could drive down that, but was coming down the Champs-Élysées one day about 8 years ago and just looked up and was like, I'm so depressed. And then he just moved to Ibiza. And now he works in a bar. So a fiscally crippling move by Pierre there, and he will be back with his baguette between his legs in less than a week. No, but you know what I mean. I would have stuck to the onion soup, garçon. No, you do meet so many interesting people, and that's why I do like Ibiza. There is a complete mix. So I'm sure there are people listening to this who come to the island, like, and have done for many years, and will be like, that clown has only is barely scratching the surface. And you'd be dead right. This is just top level stuff. It's a collection of the things that I've been suggested and recommended, and my experiences, and only my experiences. Now, first things first, where to stay. I think Kalalanga is probably where I will continue to stay. I'd love to come back with Rosie and Darren. Like, it's basically 10 minutes south of Santa Eulalia, which is like a really, really nice area populated by families. But I like Kalalanga because it's in and of itself, and also you're sort of close to the old town. You're about a 20-minute drive to the old town, 12-minute drive to Santa Eulalia, and then if you want to go up around the north side of the island, which is what we did, it's just really well primed. Now, look, one thing that I will always, you know, hold my hat on, or whatever that phrase is boats and bicycles are the answer to any good holiday. And that's just a fact. I live and die by that rule. Myself and Darren discovered this when we went and, you know, travel around the south of France for 6 weeks about 3 years ago. Boats and bikes are the best way, for us at least, to enjoy an island. It opens up the experience to so much more than just, you know, driving around, and it's just a different feeling, and it gives a sense of adventure to the whole thing, which is really, really, for us, just, yeah, transformative. So, rent a boat from Santa Eulalia. I actually have the number of a guy called Edgar, who is a complete fucking legend, and I'm going to give you his number here, because this guy was so good. We rented a boat for 4 hours, right? 200 quid. The boat would, it was only two of us, but you could have five people in the boat if you wanted, and it comes stocked with, like, a cooler with Coke Zeros, iced water, water, etc. You don't need a license first. It only goes 15 horsepower max, so it's grand. You wouldn't need to be scaredy if you're one of those people who's afraid of the water or sharks. We're not talking about sharks on the pod. Nevertheless, his name's Edgar, and his number is +34 638 945493. That's +34 638 945493. Give him a WhatsApp and he will sort you out. We took the boat, and that's where we went all the way up north, and there are some unbelievable beaches, which I'm going to read out now. There's one secret swimming spot that is fucking, like, honestly, one of the nicest places I've swam. If you go on the map, okay, if you go on Google Maps, you come out of Santa Eulalia and you go up left. Don't bother going down south. You don't need to do it. Go up left, okay? And then there's Playa Blanca, which is lovely. There's another one. Stay with me one sec. Playa El Gat. And it's this secret little cove, which I posted on Instagram yesterday, and it's the nicest place I've ever swam. It's absolutely breathtaking. So I would wholeheartedly recommend to take a boat out and do that. You drop it back to Santa Eulalia, as I said, 4 hours. If there's five of you on the boat, it's less than 50 quid each. And it's just, yeah, gorgeous. Jumping in and out of the boat. The water's crystal clear. There's a ladder. It's very easily done. And it's shaded as well. If some of you sort of Irish dungeon perverts don't like getting your mushes into the grain, you know, you can be shaded and relaxed. Yeah, as I said, wholeheartedly recommend. Santa Eulalia is beautiful. We went up around the northwest. There's also a place. Now, this is the place that I post about that the people went wild. Obviously, I don't have TikTok, so please don't fucking post this on TikTok if you're on TikTok, because these places are so beautiful, they deserve to be preserved rather than destroyed and inundated with gimps. But Gaia Mestea, right, is this secret little cove on the northwest of the, or northeast of the island. And it's like, You wouldn't know it's there, right? They don't have an Instagram. They don't have a website or anything like that. I can give you their WhatsApp number. They have two sittings. It's this one little cove. There's only one restaurant, right? And they cook they go out and catch fish that morning, and that's the lunch. There's no menu, and there's just open fire with coals. I called it a barbecue on Instagram, but obviously I don't know what the correct terminology is. It's like a fucking full cafe of some sort. Just a bit of Irish Celtic cookie knowledge for you there, you culinary gimps. But anyway, it's gorgeous fish cooked on open hot coals, and it's 11:30 and 2 p.m. They only do two sittings every day, and it's basically you pay per head, and then they just give you all that fish and then like white wine. So it would be, as I said to Rory, my brother-in-law, is like, that's one of those ones that if I was drinking, you'd be like, oh, one of the best meals of your life. So you can WhatsApp them. I'll give you their number. One sec. Have you ever seen a ghost in the wind? Have you ever seen a ghost? Have you ever seen a ghost in the wind? Have you ever... +34 650 797633. That's +34 650 797633. Absolutely life-changing. That's Kalamestea. Mestella. And that's also, by the way, on the northeast of the island. So it's around a 15-minute drive as well from Kalalanga, where we're staying. So again, would wholeheartedly recommend it. Now, we'll get into restaurants real quick, because I'm going to have to go downstairs to the pool and try and get some sort of tan going on before I fly home through this hellhole that is the Midnight Ryanair line. So, restaurants that we ate in, okay? We ate in La Oliva in the Old Town on the first night. Absolutely sensational. Gorgeous food. I had Iberican pork, which was cooked like spectacularly well. And it was just divine. Rory had, what did he have again? Beans, egg and chips, I think. So we both loved what we got. No, I'm joking. No, he had the, he actually had the beef tartare, which was lovely, and he enjoyed it. So I would hold La Oliva. We tried to book, but you couldn't, just rock up. Old Town, basically get to the Old Town and walk up to the very top. There's loads of slop in the Old Town by the marina. Don't go near it, like with all your shisha bars and your hookah. When you see hookah and an English muscly person with tattoos, get out of there. Just get out of there. If you can see the tribal tattoo, but the guy has as much in common with a tribe as... don't know, I haven't thought that one through. But basically, if you see an English person with tattoos and hookah pipes, get out of there. You're in the wrong place. Go to the Old Town, the Dalvia, and then go up the top. And it's just, again, so many beautiful restaurants. But the La Oliva is sensational. Here's a rapid fire list of restaurants that I got from a friend of mine who has a house in Kalalanga, by the way. And here is the full list. And a 1, and a 2, and a 1, 2, 3. Bes, B-E-S. La Escalera. Do you know what? I'm just going to post all of these below. There's no point in me reading them out. But La Oliva is absolutely fabulous. We also went to the Elements Beach Club. Glorious. Insanely good food. Like, genuinely insanely good food. That's on the other side of the island, but it's worth the drive. Cafe Mambo is perverted commercial and a bit cringe. But you know what? It's great crack. And it's a good way of dipping your toe into the nightlife that's, like, chilled. And it's in San Antonio, but not the sloppy part. Where else do we eat? I can't even remember. That's pretty much it. This is almost half an hour. Surely you can do some Googling. Do you know what I mean? Do some Googling. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. I've missed you on my way. I fucking love podcasting more than life. And it, well, not more than Rosie, not more than Darren or the rest. But you know, it's just something to say. It's just saying that I enjoy working on holidays. Nevertheless, if you have any other questions, hit me up. Playlist is linked below. I love you. Back to you next week. Peace.